Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Happy holidays to everybody out there celebrating. We're going to be taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the road for one final haul next week. We're going to be on Tuesday at Amici's of Little Italy all afternoon eating meatballs for the holidays. I think they probably have some big boy eggnog there for me as well. Our friends at the Maryland Lottery are also sending us to Costas Inn, established in Dundalk in 1971. We will be establishing ourselves at the bar on Wednesday afternoon. Lots of friends, family, loved ones. Not a lot of relatives, but people, relatively speaking, that are there for the Crab Imperial. So come on by, say hello. We'll give you a lottery ticket and tip a cup of holiday cheer. And that holiday cheer hopefully includes a victory over the New York Football Giants. And as it always is when I'm in Dundalk, Luke, and this is probably my first note to Katie Griggs to say, give me my media credential back, is whether they like it or not, everywhere I go, people come up to me every day now and talk about the baseball team. And that's not, you've known me a long time. That has not always been the case. But people come up to me everywhere I go now and in the off season, and it is part of the conversation to say, what are they doing in a way where for years we haven't. And I guess it's telling that in the middle of these winter meetings, when Crochet goes to the Red Sox and the Orioles made a little splash last weekend before the winter meetings and two signings. And wherever the Santander sweepstakes are, and by the time this recording's over, it could be done. But for Boris to say new Orioles ownership is doing more than old Orioles ownership, okay, well, when the money is spent and the graphics come in, we'll say that they are spending money. You would make a case, and John Angelos would also make the case. We don't have to spend a lot of money. We can be a middling this and that, and we're really well managed. And okay, I mean, I hear all of that, but this is under new ownership who've had nothing to say. Katie Griggs had her little thing in the dugout for 5 minutes and 5 minutes with you guys who are credentialed media, the legitimate folks. And it's been 90 days since I've seen anything from any of them. I don't know how this. The biggest insult on my Facebook this week was, feels like the Angelos family never left. Now, I'm not going to be insulting because we still have 3 more months of an off season here, but I am wondering what the gig is here. And when Boris is saying they're trying harder, I don't even know what that means, dude, because at some point they're going to field a team and they're going to go out next year and win 80 games, 90 games, 100 games based on what they're doing now. And for anybody who's new to the Oriole party, Luke and I have been at this a long time. If you win championships, this is the time you do it. You know, this is the time where you really augment and make your team better.
Well, I mean, it's an ongoing process. I mean, it's not just now, but it's part of it, right? And it's an important part of it. I'll remind everyone that at this time a year ago, we were still, what, almost 2 months out from the Orioles acquiring Corbin Burnes. So, you know, it's looking more and more like the trade route is an avenue they might need to go, because when you look at what Max Fried gets, when you look at even someone like Nathan Eovaldi, who I had even mentioned to you as a quote cheaper alternative, and it's 3 years, $75 million to at his age, you know, to return to the Texas Rangers. You know,
man, if somebody would have told him he was going to get that kind of money when he was 21 years old, when he was beating around with the Red Sox 15 years ago, like it's incredible money. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, especially considering the injury history that he had, especially early in his career. I mean, good for him, right? But it's a reminder of, you see what those deals are. I mean, what is Corbin Burnes going to get? And to your point a couple minutes ago, I mean, there could be an announcement while you and I are having this discussion in real time. But
for all my political friends, I'll kick Biden in the nuts. It's Bidenflation is what it is. It's everything costs too much. This is what their number three pitchers cost these days. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, and that's what the reality for Mr. Rubenstein is, and the reality for Mike Elias is, and the reality to say, well, we've always done it this way, and we've done it on the cheap, and we're going to play bone on bone based on our, you know, our fan base that didn't even support our team and come out and pay. And, you know, where's the money coming from? And, oh my God, the money, I don't know. This is baseball, you know? And if you want to play, you better get somebody to pitch. And,
oh,
and
sure.
Corbin
well,
Burnes is going to be another level of Nathan Eovaldi.
And again, well, I mean, it's not even a comparison, right? As far as what tax bracket it's going to be in. But yeah, you need to get somebody. And there are different ways to do this, as I pointed out. I mean, no one was even, maybe there had been a little bit of discussion, a little bit of speculation that the Orioles could be a team that could go get Corbin Burns last year, when it was clear that he and Milwaukee were heading toward a divorce, knowing that he was a year out from free agency and talks and all of that had not gone anywhere. But I don't think at this point last year anyone thought that that was the likely outcome, right? I mean,
We had
because
never
again,
dealt for a number one
right?
pitcher
Well, and
around.
that's and that's the point I was trying to make here. I mean, it's well and good to hear Scott Boras,
Throw flowers at a
express.
guy, he's trying to get $500 million from
Right,
Gretzky.
from whether it's for Corbin
That's why
Burns
all
or
of
his.
these things are mean gene to me. They're just
Exactly.
all
Exactly.
they're there to blow up the balloon of whoever they're trying to
Right.
fleece.
But I think for acknowledging that reality, let's pretend for this exercise the Orioles aren't going to re-sign Corbin Burns, and he's going to get a deal that's crazier than the deal that Max Fried just got as a 30-year-old getting an 8-year, $218 million deal with the Yankees. So what's next then, right? Because they need somebody, right? I mean, a minimum of one legit, whether it's going to be a shiny, sparkly ace or someone that you say is a number one, number two kind of pitcher that you could slot in there along with Eflin and Grayson Rodriguez being
Well, you
healthy.
really hope Rodriguez is Jim Palmer, but he might be
Well, and
Storm
that's,
Davis.
well,
You
and
know, I
look,
mean.
so much of this is still riding on, and this really goes for the offense as well, right? I mean, okay, they added Tyler O'Neill. They added Gary Sanchez as their backup quarterback or quarterback, backup catcher. But a lot of this is still hinging on Adley Rutschman bouncing back and those 3 months last summer being a very weird aberration that was part struggles, part health concerns that they just don't want to talk about, whatever. But that's really important. It's really important for Jordan Westberg to stay healthy and not, and be the guy that he was through the first 4 months last year or 3 months last year. It's important for Heston Kerstad to take the next step because the way their outfield is constructed right now, it lends itself to him being a real part of that, right? In the same way that Colton Cowser took the next step this past year, he needs to take the next step. So much of this still hinges on player development continuing. As I say to you over and over and over, player development does not cease when a young player reaches the majors, right? There are still steps that have to be taken there. In the same way that Gunnar Henderson, flashed some promise when he had his cup of coffee at the end of 22, was rookie of the year in 23, and then he was a top five player in the American League last year. And
Well, it's
maybe
the
the
thing
best.
that's made every one of these players better,
Right.
whether it was Santander coming in as Rule 5, or whether it was Mullins, or whether it was the switch from the Brady Anderson way to
Right.
the Buck era to this. Like, all of these achievers that we've talked about have flourished in various ways inside of the Elias ship, right?
Right. But there's still been ups and downs for those guys, right? I mean, Jackson Holliday is going to be a huge part of what they're projecting to be as an offense in 2024. And there's no reason for them not to think that. But he's got to go out and do it, right? I mean, that's why we always say that can't miss prospects can still miss or can still have some bumps in the road. I mean,
Colton
we saw
Cowser
it.
and Kerstad are lottery picks. They had to lose 100 games to draft those
Right.
kids.
And Colton Cowser, his first month and a half in the majors 2 years ago was a disaster, but he was second in rookie of the year this past year. So look, that is still a big part of where the Orioles are going, is still these young players taking the next step. I mean, that's part of it. And that doesn't mean they're all going to become Gunnar Henderson, meaning they're MVP candidates, but that's still a big part of it. But what the Orioles are faced with now is why people have pointed out over the last 3 to 4 years how they have drafted so many college hitters, how they have drafted so many hitters in general, when you throw Jackson Holliday being a 1-1 into the mix, and they haven't drafted as many pitchers. This is what you're faced with. So, how do they proceed from here? If they're not going to sign a free agent pitcher to a big money contract, and look, a lot of them have come off the board at this point, whether the Orioles are really in on them or not, I mean, you don't get any. There's
How'd you feel
no,
about the Crochet deal? Because they had the artillery to make that
yeah,
kind of deal, right? Like, they could have dealt, I'm making this up,
right.
Cowser and this and that, or whatever. You know, they could have done something to maybe make that work. But to your point, then you wind up continuing to give away these guys on the cheap to bring to continue down the cheap path while you give away or to, you start giving these players away. And then you say in 2027, well, we have to give Gunnar Henderson $50 million a year. And now we have him in a bag of donuts because we're not going to get anything. There's a lot of ways to do this. I just don't know what way they're trying to do it. It's all shrouded in secrecy and what, but you want the fans to buy in. I mean, I had Robbie Leonard on the other day down at Fadley's, and we talked about the Birdland membership and his money in and point. Like, people are talking to me about that at Costas when I'm doing the show on Wednesday because they're getting their in and they want to invest in. I've been holding my credit card up. I have been writing notes. I have been applying for credentials. I've done everything I can do. I'm not begging them to come back and give them money. I'm not, but it doesn't make me less interested in the drama of all of it and how it all works. And you and I talking about it 3 days a week. But there is no plan here. And anything in the past that they would like to blow up, they're trying to blow up the fact that Angelos was ever around here. We're all just going to forget about that. Like that didn't, the 10,000 empty seats were the reminder. And when I met Mr. Rubenstein, I told him that. And at some point, the level of confidence for the community and saying we know what the plan is, like I think the Crochet thing would have been a big deal here, right? Amongst the Oriole, people that know baseball, had we made that deal, and that t my wife was on her phone and told me, and I wasn't on my phone. I'm like, did we make that deal? And you know why? Because we can. And we have, we weren't that team that made that deal for, well, I've had this text service 16 years. I haven't had to worry on a December night that they were going to make that kind of deal. Burns last year or Crochet this. Now, their division rival did it, right? And gave away a little piece of the field, like in all of that. Dude, I don't want to play against him. I mean, that guy's, like, so when it comes down to Scooble and him and what's possible, and I don't know, it feels like anything's possible. Because they do have the money, but until they spend it, it doesn't feel like it's anything's changed. And I think they have to make great strides. And I've said this has nothing to do with the team on the field. They have to make great strides everywhere else to show that they're different, that this is different. And
They
they
do,
haven't done that.
but you still need to do that within the context of what you think makes sense for your organization, in terms of winning, in terms of sustaining winning, in terms of not just spending money for the sake of doing it, because we
The
can all
Mets
remember
just did that last week.
eight years ago the Orioles did that with Chris Davis, and it was a spectacular failure, right? It was a spectacular miss, awful. But go back and look at everyone's timelines at that point in time. A lot of Orioles fans were really happy about
Dude,
that at the
Adley
time.
Rutschman, they could be
So,
$250 million into him right now from last year, and we all would have applauded it. The day Rubenstein came in, right? Like we could have been, and he still could have hit what he hit, and that's,
And look, there's always going to be unknown. There's always going to be risk here. The Mets did not sign Juan Soto to the deal they did, expecting that his age 36, 37, 38, 39, and I think he's signed through age 40, right? I think. I mean, it's wild. They know that those deal, the money he's making at that point, even taking into account inflation and where salaries are going to go,
There
and
better be a
not.
statue in front of that place at the
But
end.
the point is, they know that the last 5 years of that deal, at a minimum, are going to be a loser, because we just know that's how this works. And this is part of what I've said about the Burns deal. In a vacuum, I don't love the idea of giving Corbin Burns 8 years, because his strikeout rate has trended in the wrong direction for 4 years now. And that's not going to reverse. So you might get 2 more years of true bona fide ace performance from him, and then he might settle into being more of a number two, number three type for 2 more years after that. That's assuming he doesn't get hurt. And I know he's been very durable, but guys are durable until they're not. And again, not trying to go off on a tangent here. There's risk involved with any of these deals. We know that, right? So
Oh,
if
it's a
you're the Orioles,
trapeze for pitching. I mean,
So that's where I look at this and I say, okay, we don't know what their payroll is ultimately going to be this year, let alone trying to project that out the next 5 years. To your point, there are a lot of mitigating circumstances with the business, Masson, ballpark renovations, all these different things in terms of trying to
I
figure
can't
out
see
what their
their future
vision is.
financially.
Right.
I only know it will grow if they do well here and they're well led and the community buys in and I buy in and everybody buys in. When that happens, that will allow them to have $194 million $1 billion payroll and keep Rutschman and Henderson if they're both going to the Hall of Fame. Like I'm down with all of that, but I need to see some le I need to have a level of confidence about their competence. And part of that would be, where's the path? Show me the light, show me the plan. And to your point, as we sit here, and when I sit with the smartest people I can find who've done this forever, there is no, the crystal ball is murky for their revenues in the future if they don't get unwhite, unold, you know, like all of this, right? Like they need to get people, they need to get revenue, they need to get more people watching the game, they need to get lacrosse players watching the games, they need to do all of that because that's how you get Juan Soto. That's how you, or you're just a billionaire that's like, I'm 74 and I got money to piss away, let's go. I thought that's who we had, honestly. I thought we had the guy saying, yeah, we're in with the Yankees. Of course, I'm going to have to throw another $100 million a year. We're going to have to make a splash. That guy destroyed the franchise. We're going to have to do unorthodox things in order for me to win a World Series by the time I'm 80 and to do the little tap dance down Pratt Street and be a hero. I mean, I don't know what else to say. That would have been my reality for him, but that's not what the smoke blowers around him are giving him in owning the franchise and managing it responsibly and all the things you just said about, well, we don't want him spending too much. I mean, they have the fan base already not feeling like they have to spend money because they've been talked into not spending money. And that's cool, but that doesn't get anybody excited either. And the thing gets people excited is winning. I'll give you all of that. But they kind of are hand in hand to some degree this time of year when you're playing poker with, do we want Crochet? Do we want Juan Soto? You know, they're only the best players, but they're really expensive. We don't, yeah, we'll just eat sirloin this year for the holidays. And that when we've been doing that for 30 years, and that part of it doesn't feel different to me.
Fair enough. I mean, we've had this debate slash argument for a long time. They won 101 games last year or 2 years ago with a very, very young core that was complemented by the likes of Kyle Gibson and James McCann and guys like that. So, okay, look, you need to progress. You need to advance. And I don't mean in terms of 101 wins becomes 108. I mean in terms of what we've all been talking about, winning in October, just like we're talking about with the Ravens, winning in January, right? That's the next step. So how do you go about doing that? Yeah. Look, Corbin Burns would help that a ton. Are they willing to pay what Scott Boras wants, what Corbin Burns want? It's hard to say. Until we see them do that, it's hard to imagine that. So let's work under the assumption that they don't. What they have done, however, is traded for another team's ace. So you kind of look and see what's out there. Dylan Cease's name has come up once again. Now, it's a one-year rental, so you're kind of in the position of one, are the Padres willing to trade him because,
They want to
they're
win
a
too.
competitive team,
Yeah.
right? But they also are a team that, their former late owner had extended himself financially by all accounts. So they're trying to rein that back in. It's just a matter of how much.
Oh, and
So,
talk about media problems.
sure,
You know what I mean? They don't own a Masson.
exactly. So, look, so that's why I mean, the point I want to acknowledge, everything you say about the future of this franchise is valid in terms of it being murky, but it's like that across baseball right now. I mean, Rob Manfred very clearly has a vision, and I'm not saying this to be complimentary of Rob Manfred. I don't think very much of Rob Manfred,
Yeah, we haven't
but
talked about that stupid rule that they
oh
the
yeah,
bananas rule, but go
which
ahead.
by the way, that it sounded like the genesis of that was always supposed to be more of an exhibition thing, like maybe they do that in the All-Star game. But anyway, I don't want to get off track too much on that. But I think when you look at where they are right now, it's like, okay, there's Dylan Cease. The other name that's come up, and again, there are always these types of pitchers that can potentially be available. Where's the sweet spot? Where's the happy medium here? And I look at someone like Luis Castillo, whose name has been brought up as a potential trade in Seattle. The Mariners, we've talked about this. We went talked about this last year. Their rotation, fantastic. Their offense was horrendous last year. And it's why they didn't go anywhere, right? And it's why they fell short. But is there a trade to be made? And Castillo's not a rental. Now, a couple things I want to point out. He is 32 years old. He is signed through, I think it's 2027. It is a deal that I think the breakdown is roughly 25, 24, 25 million a year. He does have a vesting option for 2028. point is, this would be a financial commitment, even more so than what Zach Eflin was at the trade deadline last year, where it was the Orioles taking on 1 year of salary. This would be taking on a player that is not a rental, a player who is going to have some decline, but is still pitching at a high level. If you look at the peripherals, it's not something to say, oh, this guy's ready to fall off a cliff necessarily. But you look at this and say, okay, is there a deal to be made here? Seattle apparently is interested in a right-handed hitting first baseman. The Orioles have that in Ryan Mountcastle. They've re-signed Ryan O'Hearn. Cobey Mayo's future spot is first base, that or DH, right? I mean, that's what they're looking at. And I'm not ready to write him off. So the point is here, not that Ryan Mountcastle alone would net you Castillo, but could he be one of the pieces that help land you that? And because you're taking on the amount of salary that you would be taking on, you're not necessarily going to have to give up an arm and a leg in terms of prospects to get him. So is there a match there? We mentioned Dylan Cease. So it's not as though that their options have run dry, but some of these options have dried up where you're starting to look at this and say, are you going to have to go the trade route again? And because they've done it once, because we know that they're willing to part with prospects, because they have this farm system. I mean, if you want an idea of how teams view their farm system, they lost six players in the AAA Rule 5 draft on Wednesday. That tells you what teams think about their farm system, and those are lower level guys. So it tells you it's not a hoax. Their farm system's legit. But if you're not going to go out and be a player for Max Fried or Corbin Burns, fine. We've talked about it. Those are very perilous investments that you're making, even though you love the upside. You need to find a happy medium. And I don't think it's necessarily continuing to just trade for rental pitchers, because that's going to deplete your farm system without giving you the long-term stability you desire. So that's where I do look at someone like Luis Castillo and say, hey, there's a guy that, okay, maybe the last year of that deal, he might not be a bona fide ace at that point, and that's not going to be, but by then maybe Kyle, by then Kyle Bradish should be back. You hope, you pray, because of what kind of pitcher he is. Grayson Rodriguez should be in his prime at that point. You might not need Luis Castillo in 2 years to be your bona fide ace, but for what he can be for 2025, matching him up with Eflin and Grayson Rodriguez and Dean Kramer in the back end, and we'll see about Trevor Rogers. We'll see about go down the list of the different guys they have in the mix right now. Albert Suarez, that might be an option there, and that might be something that isn't going to crush their farm system. It would be a payroll commitment, which isn't going to be Corbin Burns in terms of people doing cartwheels, but Luis Castillo is a three-time All-Star pitcher. So I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying that there is an example of an option out there of kind of a middle ground there, where you make a trade, but you're also taking on some real salary that should hypothetically depress what the ask is in terms of the prospects you have to give up a little bit. And
But at
you
that point,
land.
you're just saving Mr. Rubenstein money in 2029, and the risk of Corbin Burns' arm falling off in year four of an 8-year deal. And listen, I'm not with you. When I do the Stockholm Syndrome thing with the owners, I'm not on Team Boris either,
Right.
where you're asking for 8 years and
This is
you've
why I've said
really
I'd like to see the.
fundamentally held the sport up. I've witnessed
Right.
this for 30 years. I'm not on team agent, team player, team
Sure.
union, any of I've watched all of this depress everything about baseball in my community, and certainly a surly owner here the last 30 years that didn't play the game, got himself out of it. Poor mouthing himself into an empty stadium, turning a full franchise into a poverty franchise in a generation. Like, I witnessed that here, and these people don't have enough wherewithal to even realize that I've witnessed it, and that I'm going to be here on the radio talking about it, and on the internet amongst their fan base, and in every Costas and every bar talking about it. Not your mama's anymore, which is really unfortunate. Although I do hope that Finn gives me the Charlie Eckman memorabilia around there so I can have it. But I would just say they have two seasons, off season and in season. They need to win them both. The NFL's been winning them both here for 27 years. And that led that started with me running draft parties over at Bedonia Station in the barn and getting people lubed up in the off season about nobody knew who Phil Savage or Eric DaCosta was. So like getting people excited, which has been job number one with the NFL to the point where you get nauseated by it. But the NFL would look at you and your brother and say, you little wrestling fans, Vince doesn't take a week off. Vince goes 53 weeks. So, we're not taking a week. I mean, the baseball team just takes off
I just,
large
but I, but
stretches of time or runs from people like us that are fans who just want answers and want to be straight and want to say, what is the plan here now that there's allegedly sane people running the franchise, right? Like literally community people, local people, like all of this. Get out in front of this and get Luke and I confident. Get all of us confident in whatever the plan might be. But this is the time where we're all like, what's going on? But I would say, there's no text outside the bounds that you could send from WNST of their finances, wherewithal, farm. They can make any deal. If they could have gotten Crochet if they wanted to, so they can make any deal they want. They could have signed Juan Soto. They could have done anything they wanted to do. Now, what are they going to do? And then that's for you and me as journalists, well, one of us is, to judge it and evaluate it in the off season, because the fans are trying to buy in and figure it out too. I'm out in face and they're asking the fans for money. I'm not giving them any money. I'm not. I mean, they're not giving me my press. They don't give me my credibility that I'm not going to give them money, but you and I have credibility about all this. And everybody I know who buys tickets has the credibility of, am I in or am I out? And why am I in and how much am I in and where can I find the games and what's the plan around here? I don't know. Those are really, really fair questions, Mr. Rubenstein, Katie Gray. There really are. They're fair questions for the community, and they need to be answered. And we're finding out on the outside at the winter meetings and through this period of time. And I'm with you. They didn't get Burns until Super Bowl time. So, like, there's time, but we're
Plenty of time,
watching.
yeah.
We're watching and we're
Sure,
waiting and
yeah.
we're asking questions. And that,
And look,
or the
until
lot
they
of
and
people that aren't buying the 10,000 people in the upper deck that didn't come, they're not asking questions, So we are.
well, okay. I mean, I hear you. You're going to continue to talk about that.
That's a big deal.
It is, but there are also a lot of variables that you continue to kind of graze over. Anyway, big picture, yes, they need to grow their fan base. There's no doubt about it, and everything you said is valid. And I'm not disagreeing with you. At the same time, we don't, and you use the Ravens because you keep using that as the example because it's the only other major professional sport in town. They also didn't, we've never seen the Ravens go out and spend money foolishly in free agency either. They've done it the way that they do it. They have a method to their madness and it doesn't always work out perfectly, but that's also part of this. I mean, for as much as we keep talking about David Rubenstein and you keep bringing up Katie Griggs isn't making baseball decisions. David Rubenstein, I don't think, is making very many baseball decisions beyond what does Mike Elias, want in terms of payroll? What does he think is good investments? All
Payroll
of
is the
that.
decision, though, Luke. That's my
Sure.
point. My point is the
It
payroll
is.
is the decision.
It is, but it's also a moving target because you don't have players who, you have so many young players who are big parts of this, who you are trying to plan out what this is going to look like. I hope there's at least an idea that you're going to, a plan to try to sign Gunnar Henderson, for example. I hope it's not just, oh, he's gone in 4 years because,
Well,
that
Soto just got 760. If Henderson's
sure.
almost that good, there you go. There's your math. Why would Scott Boras take a nickel less than that? Why would Gunnar Henderson take a nickel
Well,
less than
Gunnar
that? Like,
Henderson's not Juan Soto just yet. I mean, let's see in a few. Any point is,
well, that's why he wouldn't take 300 million now, because
point
in a
is there are a
couple of years it
lot
might be 900 million. So.
There are a lot of ways to do this. And baseball is not like the NFL, where a franchise quarterback, like Juan Soto didn't, the Yankees had Juan Soto last year. They didn't win the World Series, right? Even though he's the highest paid player in baseball. The Dodgers had Ohtani, who didn't even pitch, right? I mean, he was just a DH last year, still won MVP, of course. But we know that baseball is not a sport that has any player that's truly going to be as valuable as what a franchise quarterback is in the NFL. So my point in saying that is not that you don't love to have players in that tax bracket, in that pay, on that pay scale, if you have an owner who's willing to spend that, which Cohen and the Mets are kind of even they're leaving separation between themselves and even the other big spenders at this point in time. I mean, that's how crazy it's been. Because even the Dodgers, how they've operated has been to defer the money. Whereas with this deal, there wasn't, from what I understand, there's no deferred money. But the point with this, the point I'm trying to make, and this is where I'm trying to preach some level of patience, but at the same time, until they do anything, you can only go off of your priors, right? And in fairness to David Rubenstein, we're only talking about one trade deadline and now what has been roughly a month of an off season. So that's not really a big sample to judge too harshly or to be too positive on the flip side, just because they signed Tyler O'Neill to a 3-year deal that might still end up being a 1-year deal with an opt out. So, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves one way or the other, but yeah, people are, expectations have been raised, and that's a good thing. That's a credit to Mike Elias. It's a credit to Sig Meidel and the front office, and the work that they've done from what this thing was when they arrived in November of 2018.
Dude, you can go back and get the tapes of me in May talking about it being better than it's ever been and talking about Bobby Gritsch and Don Baylor and Rich Coggins and Al Bunbury and what that era was. And if you see Al out of Robbie's first base, ask him. Hall of Famer, Al Bunbury, ask him.
So now it's about taking the next step. And look, just because it's not signing Juan Soto doesn't mean that there aren't still very, very important steps to take, even if it's not re-signing Corbin Burns. Look at a team like the Braves. They haven't necessarily gone out and signed a ton of outside free agents, but what have they done? They've kept a lot of their own. And not to say they haven't signed free agents, let me be clear, but they clearly prioritized signing some of their own that they had developed. And we've talked about this with the Cardinals, example over the last 25 years. So there are lots of ways to do this. And that's why I bring up Luis Castillo. I bring up Dylan Cease. Maybe they still do re-sign Corbin Burns, right? I mean, I'm not saying that's impossible. If Scott Boras says that they've been in the mix, I don't think he'd have any reason to lie if David Rubenstein and the Orioles are still operating exactly the same way as they did under John
Well, if they've
Angelou.
offered $200 million for Burns and the going rate's 280, then then that's certainly $100 million more than Peter Angelo's ever
Yeah,
brought to the
right.
table. But it's saying
But
I'm
it's still
bidding is
right.
yeah.
We've been there before. I mean, in the Angelos era, I mean, they did that with Mark Teixeira, right? It wasn't 200 million, but the point was they tried to sign him, but
Way
the
over
Yankees.
Messina, plenty of money.
Yeah.
I
So,
saw the tape of that.
Sid Thrift talking about Confederate money way back when, right? I mean, so I'm with you. I'm
These
very
kids
un
today don't go on the bar stool. They have no idea about Sid Thrift and Confederate money. That's why they need to
But
read the Peter Principles.
you look at it and say, look, it's great to hear that they're being aggressive or they're in on these guys, but at some point you got to land someone. And this is where I go back to even someone like me who prides myself in being more of a baseball nerd, right? And look, you don't have to be a genius to see how many of these long-term lucrative pitching contracts have not worked out very well. I mean, they don't. A lot of them have not. For every one where you say, hey, that was a great deal, you can find a few to say, oh, that was mediocre at best, and some of them are a disaster. So there is risk involved. And it's really easy for me to sit here and try to spend someone else's money, the $300 million, to a pitcher. But at the same time, if you do want to take the next step, if you do want to make sure that this isn't just, hey, they're pretty good in the regular season, but you don't really take them too much more seriously than that, then yeah, at some point in time, you're going to have to take some risk. And look, that started last February when they acquired Corbin Burns. They gave up Joey Ortiz and DL Hall, even though I certainly don't think that that was going to make or break their franchise. But what's the next step now? Is it signing someone or is it making another trade? And like I said, maybe the happy medium is someone like a Luis Castillo, where you make the trade, you're absolutely committing money because he signed for 3 more years, with a vesting option after that. But in the process of doing that, you might not need to give up your very best prospects to get him. You're going to have to give up something, but it might be Ryan Mountcastle and, prospect from the top of their second tier and, maybe a couple middling guys after that. I don't know. Again, I'm not going to sit here saying that I have the chops of a GM to try to figure out the valuation of prospects who in some cases, maybe I've seen play once in the minor leagues. So I'm not going to try to fool anyone here. But the point is, there are lots of ways to do this, but you're right. I mean, you have a fan base right now that's sitting back that is certainly more excited about the team than they were 4 years ago. I think that's obvious because they have done some winning in the regular season, but they haven't even won a playoff game yet. I
I
mean,
mean, I'm sitting up because he won 101 games 2 years
sure.
ago, but I
Sure.
also saw what their
You're
pitching was
expecting
and
to.
what their prospects were and what their players were and what Santander became and where, Couser and Westberg and these guys came in and gave and Rutschman and to the point where
Yeah.
he wasn't. Like, dude, I watched a lot of shitty baseball here, man. Look, and you've seen a lot more than me. Like, I know what's good and I know what's potential. And I also know for 30 years I've sat here and talked about when we get up that mountain, we'll spend the money. And that was all bullshit because of who owned the team. Now I'm willing to give, even though they're not willing to give me a blank sheet of paper, I'm willing to give them a blank sheet of paper and say, what are you? What are you going to be? How are you going to answer this? And I'm just waiting for something that looks and feels different because these people have emerged and arrived at a really at a inflection point for the franchise with growth, media, turnover, old white people dying, city changing, reputation change, like all of that happening while Camden Yards turns 30 years old and while they have two, maybe three generational players. Henderson, Rutschman, Holiday. How did they get these players? They lost 112 games every year. So, and then when these guys blossom, they're all going to be $700 million players in our mind, right? Because they're all going to the Hall of Fame, right? So, where is the revenue? Where is the model? Who's doing the homework? Where are the people on the streets that are going to get people energized by this? And I've been talking about this forever, and this is the time of the year where you get a little energized because the promise was when we're ready to compete, we'll spend money. And I could bring that chart up that I shared about how they only committed $56 million, and now you can add the $50 million in that they have committed over the next couple of years to the Red Sox outfielder Tyler O'Neill, and that's cool. But they're a billion. They just sold for $1.8 billion on a depressed value. They got $600 million. Like, if he's going to play this like Angelos and say, "Well, what were our revenues last year? Okay, what is the industry?" Well, okay, then we're just going to spend, $141 million, and that's what we're going to do. And what, Mike, whatever it takes. I'm off shooting my podcast. See you later, buddy. And Mike gets his 140, wherever that is, and whatever that adds up to is what it is. And if that's what it's going to be, if that's the way they're going to play it until times get better and Katie fixes the business and we all go sell sweets and create money and Nestor and his wife give him $600 a year and like until we can become that $175 million payroll. Dude, they come on, man. These are billionaires. You know what I mean? They bought into this. They threw out hats. They made commercials. Now it's time to follow up on that promise made by the liars. And like they're ready to compete. They're ready to be a big boy franchise. Then don't be 33rd in spending in the league. You
Well,
know, like
they're
let's.
not going to be just by strictly by the number of players that are arbitration eligible and all that. They're not going to be that. They would have to start trading away players for that. But
And by
look,
the way, none of that makes their team any better. Spending more money on their own players, right? You know what I mean? Doesn't really make their team any better this year. The only way
well,
they
but your
make
own,
team
but
better
they
this year is
also,
spending
but I
money on other
will,
players.
where I'll push back a little bit though is when you do have the young players that they have, there also is a fair reasonable projection for guys to be better than they've been. And when you're talking about it in those terms, that's where it is exciting for them. And that's where probably on the offensive side. And what's funny about this, because I was having this conversation with someone the other day, someone who's not in the baseball media, but has been in the past, was talking about this. And, that person pointed out, as much as we're talking about Burns and pitching and all that, their offense is what failed them at the end of last year. So, and this person wasn't even someone that was enamored with that saying, oh, you must sign Anthony Santander. But the point was more like, is Tyler O'Neill really going to be the big splashy offensive addition? And that's really it, that him and, swapping out Gary Sanchez, for James McCann.
And moving the wall in. And I
So
thought that was a pretty,
yeah, you
I
can add eight home runs
oh,
to
sure.
but you're also going to add eight more that your pitching's going to give up. So, with that, and look, I didn't have a major problem with the wall. Like, to me, the whole thing was it was just too extreme at once, right? They should have just done what they ended up doing this what they're doing now is what they should have just done to begin with. It should have been a
Well,
more
my thing is
subtle
doing a
move there.
Friday afternoon news drop on
Well,
it to hide from it is
it wasn't
that's
selling tickets either
Angelos,
way.
that's but I mean
I don't know. You're
either
way more
way.
hung up. That I agree with so many of the other points you're making. I think making a Friday news dump, like making a thing out of that, no one cared about that. As far as the timing of that, really.
Nobody cares
And
about the walks if we're going to talk about it every game they
well,
play at home. We are.
I won't. Other people will, because at some
Okay,
point in
right.
time, it's like the wall is the wall. Like, people were still talking about it last year. I'm like, guys, it's been 3 years now. What are we doing here?
Well, when
Anyway,
they
that's
moved
just,
it again,
yeah,
they've given us a
sure.
chance to
Well,
change,
my biggest complaint with that is not the timing of it. It's that aesthetically, it's not going to look good, until they figure out what they're going to do with that space, which, look, they'll probably turn it into like a party deck or something once they do like the long-term renovations over the next 2, 3 years. But, to bring it back full circle, though, look, they've got, I want to remind everyone, they still have a really young nucleus that already has darn good baseball players, has some others who should get better. Multiple players who should get better, including one who could be an absolute superstar in Jackson Holliday, who, I get it, he didn't put up great numbers this past year. He's 20 years old. He's also learning a new position. I think it's prudent to be patient, right? I think it's appropriate to be patient.
Oh, I'm not kicking any of these young guys
And I'm
out
not
for
saying
kicking.
you are either.
I
No,
need to get them enough pitching so that when Couser turns it up, Westberg turns it back on, Rutschman figures it out, Holliday figures it out,
sure.
Henderson knocks him in, O'Neill stays healthy and gives you 130 games. Like
Right,
all of the
but keep in
above,
mind again, their
who's going to
pitching wasn't
pitch?
that. But even with everything they went through, their pitching wasn't the problem at the end of the season, right? And look, I get it. Corbin Burns was a big part of that, but he wasn't the only part of that,
Didn't
right?
even give my boy Suarez a chance to save their asses this,
Sure,
in
sure. I mean,
October,
just score a couple runs, and we could have seen how that all would have played out. But
See.
the point is, yeah, they need to go get a starting pitcher. There's no question about that, and I'll be screaming and howling at the moon as much as anyone if it's the third week in February and they've reported and they're trying to sell everyone on Cade Povich, which,
I want
who by the
Scooble. I want Scooble. Can I say that? I want Scooble. Let's go.
is Detroit going to give them up at this point?
No.
I think that's
No.
different now. So but like I said, look, if you can get Luis Castillo, if you can get Dylan Cease, I'm not saying in terms of perception that's Corbin Burns, but Dylan Cease had a heck of a year this past year, right? And it would kind of be Corbin Burns part two in terms of like, okay, you've acquired another ace in a contract year. What's going to happen this time around? That's why, to me, the Castillo thing's interesting just from a standpoint of it's kind of the middle ground of, yes, you're trading for him, but he also has 3 more years on his contract, which, hey, again, I'm not saying he's going to be peak Luis Castillo, but you're talking about a guy who's been an all-star pitcher, a guy who, looking at it, he was fifth in Cy Young voting 2 years ago. So in 23, so this is a he's a number one.
Well,
I'm
the
not
real
saying he.
question behind the closed doors is if I knew Mike Elias and we were having a coffee today, whether he would say, "We're out on Burns." He was a girlfriend,
I think they
Like
probably are.
we did a
I think
summer
they
with
probably
him,
are.
and
I mean, I
we
just.
liked him, but we didn't love him, and we didn't love him a long time, and we don't think he's Jim Palmer, and we don't, I mean, and would he make us better this year? Absolutely, but I'm not spending $200 million of Mr. Rubenstein's money on that.
Well, and here's the
You know what I
problem.
mean? Like, and if
But here's
that's
the
the
problem.
truth, then that's a fine truth. Then
And here's the problem with that. The scenario might have been that 250, they might have said, we'll do it. We'll do it. This is going to be bold. It's risky, but we'll do it. But we've seen how this mar the markets go. Look at the projections from people that are way smarter than me at the start of the offseason for what these pitchers were going to get. It's exceeded that. I mean, it has. That's why I kind of laugh when, you hear about the overall health of the sport, then you see these record-breaking contracts continuing to happen, albeit the same six teams that are signing them.
these guys are
But
billionaires throwing money around. Let them have a good time,
right,
Like,
sure. I'm not bashing that. But my point is, I'm guessing there was a path, and who knows? Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe we're. going to be sending out a WNST text that they signed Corbin Burns to a $300
Mr.
million contract. I'm not going to sit here and
Rubenstein has the
bash it.
money. Yeah.
But that said, my scenario, and I don't know this. This is purely my speculation, purely me making an educated guess here, is that there was a path, there was a number that was a realistic number at the beginning of the offseason. If the market broke a certain way and this team landed this pitcher or this team landed this position player, and all those projections that, like I said, even the Fangraphs and different sites like that had, a lot of those have been blown out of the water. And then it just gets to a point where we say, where Michael Elias maybe even says to David Rubenstein, to your point, your scenario, where you say, I like Corbin Burns. I don't love him so much to go extend ourselves to that degree. I'd rather take that money and use that towards A, B, and C over the next 5 years. I'm just saying, I think that's how this front office operates. I mean, it's very much a, they're very methodical. They're very process oriented. I guarantee you they've laid out plan A, B, C, D, E, F, and G in terms of what they feel they need to do. And they are not going to be emotional about players. They're not going to be sentimental. We saw that when they traded Trey Mancini a couple years ago. By the way, trading Trey Mancini was smart. Trey Mancini's out of baseball at this point. I love Trey, but there were a lot of Orioles fans who wanted to see the Orioles sign him to a 3-year deal. They were right getting rid of him from a baseball standpoint. Doesn't make it any easier.
Oh, I think these guys know what they're doing.
Right,
Now,
right.
you know, like you won't
Sure.
get me to say Michael Elias and six,
But
but they'd know a lot more about that, what they were doing if they had the Yankees payroll. I
right.
mean,
Well,
like literally, and the Red Sox stealing from the bottom of their deck to bring an ace in and
although
not
they
feeling
traded
it.
their last two first round picks and you know, they traded some real prospects. I mean, not that the Orioles couldn't have matched that or exceeded that if they wanted to. I'm not at all suggesting that, but you know, they traded their last two first round picks. Understanding the Red Sox weren't drafting 1-1, I understand that. But I think, you know, the point I was trying to make, you know, with Elias and with this group, you know, they're going to be very methodical, and they have in this, and this is similar to how Eric DaCosta and Ozzie Newsome have operated. They have numbers, and I get it. There's not a hard cap in the sport, but there are luxury tax thresholds that have frankly acted like a cap for everyone, but the Steve Cohens of the world, right? And I'm not saying that's a good or bad thing. That's how it's been. But they look at this through the lens of, it's not, oh, we must have Corbin Burns. It's, oh, we need to go get a starting pitcher who's worth that in terms of wins. And we're going to project Grayson Rodriguez to be this in terms of how many wins they're worth. And we got Zach Eflin at the deadline last year with the idea of not just for 24, but also he's going to be our number two starter. Maybe, hope not your number one. But he's going to be a top half of the rotation starter for us in 25 because we're not going to have Kyle Bradish until August at best.
They've been deft at how they've done this, right?
Yeah.
So
So,
I'm not.
but,
I what I'm
and I,
addressing right now is how the payroll change and the ownership change will make them even better.
it should. And this is where, and this is where I'm going to provide the caveat for no matter how smart you are in terms of how you're trying to operate with your process, with your organization, with your fiscal responsibility, which everyone has it. Even the Yankees show it. You know, they showed restraint that they weren't going to sign Juan Soto at any cost, even though they had an offer that was right up there. But the problem is, even the smartest, absolute smartest executives who've done this for a long time, use Billy Beane as a perfect example. Although, you know, has operated in a small market setting in Oakland, with ownership that didn't want to spend. But they will all tell you that you can have all the numbers in the world with your projections, in a vacuum, what a player should be worth. But at the end of the day, it's still an open market. And you're still going to, at some point in time, if you really want to get the player, if you really want to nail down the guy that you feel you need to have that's really going to make your team better and get you over the hump, you know, the proverbial hump, you're going to have to extend yourself. It's going to be more than what your models say you should spend on it. So the problem, you know, what's tricky about that is doing that in the right case, because you don't want it to be Chris Davis, right? You don't want it to be Chris Davis. You don't
Well,
want it to
Tampa
be a
Bay has
guy.
considered that a way of life. So is Moneyball, right? Like all of that. There were books and movies written on that. Does it win championships? I don't know. When was the last parade
It
down in
hasn't,
Tampa? The
yeah.
last parade? No. Like, so there is a point where
Where you have to extend. Yep.
you
I
just
agree.
say that's a model to be good, but like the book, we good to great. We want to be great. Mr. Angelos can't own the team and have it be great. I've been saying that for as long as I've been on the radio. It could never be great because it was poor. And I have the same issue with all of this and saying, like, I'll leave you with this because I do want to be a prick and drop the ball because it's the holidays, and I have a Crab Cake tour next week. All of this scuttlebutt on Soto and the Yankees, because you just said something that kind of like got to me. You're like, the Yankees came close and they didn't win and they showed restraint. And in the end, it's $750 million. And as Rex Ryan said, these baseball guys, they got to set the market. It's
And
the
let's be clear,
union.
restraint is in air quotes there, right?
Yeah,
I
fair
mean,
enough. I heard the scuttlebutt about Soto being pissed about the Yankees and his family being mistreated. Like, literally, and I'm thinking to myself, that's so Juan Soto. That's so Latin. That's so, like, that's where I am with it and saying how you're treated and the stuff that happens behind the scenes in every case, as we talk about Diontae Johnson on the football side this week, and things that happen behind closed doors that affect those kinds of things. Taking care of your people to some degree, that
Of
Juan
course.
Soto thing would even get out or be a part of that. That's so Juan Soto because he comes with drama, and that you bought that too. You bought the drama, and that's part of all of it. But I just would say the perception that it's a good place to be. And I'll give you an example. Every time I talk to Mark Messina, I don't talk to Mike much at all, but I talked to Mark. He always, and Mark's always honest with me. He's like, when Mike got there, from the minute he got there, it felt like he was in a real place. That there were things that were always broken around the or it was like Major League. Something's broken, it gets fixed in a minute because Mr. Steinbrenner won't have it any other way. And that's kind of the way, Messina saw it that way when he changed places. And look, you can speak to this with the Ravens. The Ravens run a better operation than so many places, and so many players pull you up and talk about that. The Orioles need to be that place. And I guess that's my point. In mistreating me at the front door, I didn't like it. I still don't like it. I didn't. I was even nice to Mr. Rubenstein out at Bet the Philly last month. But like, there is a point where like, you got to make this a place you want to be. And part of that is Corbin Burnes came in here and laid out. Now, whether they like him or not, or whether they love him as a human and putting him on the wall and how they feel about him and all of that, especially with Oriole fans that want to feel like Adam Jones is family and Nick Markakis is family and like just all of that, they really need to. I'll use a word here and I'll drop the ball on this. They changed the culture. The culture of baseball in our community and the Orioles and our mindset, and make the Angelos thing go away and show us this really cool new thing we all need to get our credit cards out for. And it doesn't need to be a new logo. It doesn't need to be a new jersey. They don't need to put Baltimore back on the jersey. I spent the first half of my career doing that. They have players. It's all here. It's built. I'm interested. You and I have
Sell
talked
it.
for an hour in
Sell it.
December about it. Let's go. Let's get it. Let's get everybody excited about it. That's all.
I
I'd be
agree
excited by Scooble. I know.
wholeheartedly.
I'm asking them to do things they can't do. They could have signed Soto. They could have dealt for Crochet. There's things they could do, and if they don't do any of them, then they're, it's going to look like it's half-assed. And at some point, to not be half-assed, they're going to have to sign somebody to $200 million. Like I or make a big deal, to your point. And yeah, I don't know. I'd like to think that the new ownership was going to be more everything, and I've been underwhelmed so far. And look, when they have the parade down Pratt Street, it's fine. They're right and I'm wrong. But until then, I've been waiting since 1983 and out in the front of it. And you and I are the only ones talking about this on the radio today.
I'll leave you with one point. The Rangers, two off seasons ago, signed Jacob deGrom. Crazy, insane deal. Barely even pitched for them when they won the World Series that year because he got hurt. So, look, not saying you don't go do that, but hey, this is more about it's about every
Sit on
player.
my lap, little Luke, in the off season of 1988. The Orioles dealt Eddie Hall of Famers away.
Oh,
Okay, and why? So yeah. I mean,
breaks
it
my heart.
happens. Listen, and this is where Kowser, Westberg, Holiday. To your point, they're going to win because of them. You need to do everything you can
Augment,
do while this
enhance,
garden
supplement.
is growing and spend the money on the arms because Gunnar Henderson might not want to be here. And when his time comes, whoever owns the Angels that week might have a bigger stick for it. I mean, the Las Vegas A's might be a thing by then and have money that is stupid
Or
because of where they. I mean, who knows who's going to buy the Arizona Diamondbacks and just say, I want the best player in the sport. How much is it? Oh, $1 billion? Well, I happen to have a diamond mine, so I'm going to buy that player. Like, sit around here and pine away thinking you're going to sign Gunnar Henderson or that Adley Rutschman's going to bounce back. Get the team right now. That only thing, it's Sammy Hagar right now. That's all that matters right now.
And also in the process, you win, you show those young guys that you're committed to making this as great as possible. And then they're way more open at that point in time that, look, you're not going to get a hometown discount, but if it's Yankees versus Mets, the way that those offers have been reported, maybe they do take the Yankees. That's a little bit less than that upstart team because they've loved playing here and they've won here and they've seen the commitment here. And that's where they might
I
take
see Ramirez in Cleveland, and
a
that
couple
there's your
million
example.
less.
Yeah. All right. Lucas Baltimore, Luke, I am Nestor. We still love baseball. We still talk baseball around here. If you see Katie Griggs, let her know. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore Orioles. Them birds, them O's, hon, at Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.